They're Terrified and Tipsy is brought to you by Slash and Cast.
Welcome to a bonus episode. We are very excited about this bonus episode because we did a collaboration with our friends at SP Film Viewers and we talked about the Babadook. So what better timing than to release this bonus episode of the Babadook after our episode of the Babadook? I'm just seeing how many times I can say Babadook. So enjoy our bonus episode. And if you haven't listened to SP Film Viewers podcast, what are you guys waiting for? Go check them out. They are a bunch of fun. And we will see you for a new episode next week. Bye.
Hi, I'm Sophie. I haven't seen a lot of movies.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm here to help with that. And we are
SP Film Viewers.
Don't take a look inside that book, because you might get shook and be like, what the
Fudge.
Hello, everyone, for our second viewing of Spooky Season. And much to Sophie's delight, once again.
Definitely. Hey. I can't wait. I think I'm just counting down the days now.
We are going to be talking about the Babadook. But we're not alone in this journey.
No, we're not. And it's not the Babadook that's joining us, thankfully.
No, thankfully not. Now, we have two very special guests from the Horror Movie Review podcast. They're Terrified and Tipsy. Hello, guys. Or gals, should I say?
Ladies, young ladies.
Oh, I like that. Thanks for having us.
You're very much welcome. I'm glad you could join us, because I thought, before I listened to your show, and it's like, one of you is very much into the horror genre, really, and the other one isn't. So it's like, that's kind of like me and Sophie in a way, kind of dragging a kicking and screaming, watching these scary films and everything.
So I thought forcing her to do it.
A great guest to have on for the show, and we settled on the Babadook as a choice. So is there a reason why you chose that one in particular, or is it just because?
We knew we wanted to watch it because we wanted to watch it for one of our episodes too. So when we were kind of tossing movie ideas back and forth, we were like, well, that's perfect because we wanted to watch that anyway. So.
Yeah, and it's so popular. I mean, it's one of those ones that, you know, if we get any kind of suggestions as far as what movies to watch, the Babadook is one of them.
It's always on the list.
It's always on the list, but we haven't covered it yet. We haven't reviewed it. So we thought it would be the perfect time kind of get something fresh.
Definitely. And I've never heard of the Babadook until I watched it. So you can tell I literally horror. It's put in a box, not even underneath my bed, and I do not want to open it ever. And I think that's when you were like, oh, the Babadook. And I'm like, that doesn't sound so bad. It sounds okay.
No, not at all. Okay, yeah.
But yeah, it feels like my level of scariness with this, I'm okay if somebody's running at me with a chainsaw, because that's something that will be maybe coming up. And I'm okay if it's a person, I don't know why. If it's something supernatural that I can't kind of contend with, that freaks me out, because how can I kill it? I can't.
Okay.
So I can't protect myself if it's dead already and it's haunting me. What am I gonna do? You know, at least I can run. I could probably try and injure somebody if they were trying to attack me. I hope I would be able to do that.
Thought about this.
Yeah, but I feel the opposite of that. I feel the complete opposite, because just like you, I hate scary movies, but the ones that are paranormal are harder for me. I mean, I'm sorry, they're easier for me, because I'm like, okay, well, that could easily just be made up. Like, it's easier for me to think like, okay, that could be BS, you know? But if it's someone with a chainsaw or like a serial killer, I'm like, okay, that's real. Yes, that can really happen. I want nothing to do with that. Too real. I'm over it. So I'd rather do paranormal than a serial killer any day.
Really? No, I'm the opposite. Yeah. I'm fine with that because I would not put myself, I'd hope, in a situation like they always go into a woods or something like that. And it's like,
oh,
at night.
God,
and
I'm
like,
it's so cliche. Yeah.
I'm not going to do that. So I'm not going to die. So that's my mindset. Like, I'm not going to put myself in that situation.
Like, I'm smarter than them. I will survive this.
Whereas the paranormal activity, we have with my mum, she did bring me to a spiritual church and she's all about the afterlife and everything like that. So when I was a young child, I think this is where paranormal and any spirits or anything like that, it freaks the living crap out of me. I went to this church and it was only a Christmas special. And you know where you like kind of have carols and you light a candle and you sing. Yeah. And this man went, "You've got the gift, you could speak to like basically dead people." And I was like, I was only about 11.
Mind your business.
I was like, yeah. Oh my God, please don't tell me that. I never want to do that. And he's like, "Oh, you're wasting your talent." And I'm like, "No, I'm not.
Like, I'm good. I'm going to suppress it for as long as I can. Don't ever say that again."
Yeah. And you're like, "Sir, I don't know you. Please go away."
So I think ever since then, anything paranormal, I'm like, "Oh my God, I could actually speak to them. This person said that. And I do not want that." And you love stuff like that, don't you, Paul?
Oh, yeah. Mm. I
would. Yeah. Too. I'm very much interested to know. Because you think you maybe like you've maybe seen ghosts and stuff.
I believe the truth.
I kind of want to, not that I don't believe, because I kind of like the concept of it, but I've never like encountered that to be like really spooked and like, and then be like, no, I don't want anything to do with this or anything like that. So it's, I haven't got to that point yet. So it's like kind of like that push. I wanted something to happen and then be like, whether I like it or not is, I guess, is a change my opinion, my factor on it. But,
there's a thing just down the road, and it's a manor house. And they do like a haunted room and they say you can walk in and kind of feel the presence. And then you can sleep over there around Halloween for a night.
That'd be me. No. I would.
No.
100%.
100%. He wants to take me. And I'm like, no, because it'll latch onto me. It will.
Out of anybody, it'll latch onto you.
Yeah. And then I'll bring this demon spirit home with me.
Like they do in the films. Yeah. Yeah.
And then I want to kill you.
No. And you're like, "This is your fault, Paul. This is your fault."
Yeah. Anyway, but thankful we're in a, well, we are in a nicer setting of, was it Adelaide, Australia for this film? And it's so kind of like, most of it's during the daytime, isn't it? So it's kind of like that kind of, feel that kind of reprieve of not having us in complete darkness all the time.
It's when it gets dark, that's when it goes down.
Stuff goes down.
And I can't handle it. I'm okay. I'm like, right, okay. Nice through the day, we're fine, it's all okay. And then it's like boom, dark, and I'm like, nope, can't handle this now. I get closer to Paul.
Go, yeah.
But I didn't really feel that you would know, apart from a little bit of a twang of an Australian accent, that actually it was an Australian kind of based film. It wouldn't really think that, would you? Really? I know I've been to Australia, I've been lucky enough. But I wouldn't. I think the main lead lady doesn't sound that Australian.
I agree. It took me a little bit to realize where they were. And like in the beginning, it said like production for Australia. And I was like, okay. But then I was thinking about it. Like, well, I guess I know they're not in England. Like where, it's gotta be Australia. And then it like made sense a little bit further in, but yeah, it took me a little bit too to
realize. Yeah, they weren't exactly very strong, not strong in accent. No. Yeah.
No, they weren't. It was just certain phrases that they would say, but to be fair, I think the Australian accent is pretty much like our accent, but just a little bit twangier at the end. Mm-hmm. That's literally
There's a couple of different words that they say.
Yeah, pronounced different. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I know there's like the telltale sounds, because it's like they say, mom, he says mum, Samuel, to his mum, Amelia.
Instead of mom.
Yeah. It's obviously more an American term. Yeah.
Yeah, it really confused us.
Yeah. And forgive me, Pastor. Do you two have kids?
I don't.
I do.
Courtney does.
I have two.
Okay, so you can be a little bit more
relatable to the scenario in a sense with the, you know, a screaming child.
There are some instances where I'm like, this is kind of bad parenting. I feel like I feel like maybe she should have taken him a long time before now, when this movie was like, you know, in the setting, and have taken him for therapy or just to talk to somebody. I don't know.
Or giving him some boundaries or something. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Do we just need to, if she hasn't talked to somebody, to help this child out with his, obviously he's got something going on, mm-hmm. and then just going ahead and giving him a sedative.
Yeah, I'm not okay with quickly. That either. Yeah.
Yeah. That just, you're just like, okay, just give him pills. It's fine. It's fine.
I do think it's, for me, yet again, like, you know, scary ghost films, anything like that, when this creepy girl comes out, that freaks me out. But the little boy in this does initially frighten me. I'm thinking
he's a creepy kid.
He's crazy. Yeah.
I don't know what I'd do if we had a child like that. I'd be like, you have to deal with him. I'm sorry, because I'm going to literally scream and run away.
And then it will resent you, and then they'll come after you or something. Like that.
Do you know, it's one of those things I do get scared thinking if we ever had a child and it does appear at the bottom of my bed at night, that I might actually whack it. Just because I'd be so scared.
But also in the morning, like, he was always at the end of her bed. Yeah. As soon as she woke up in the morning,
I'm like, he was like grabbing her neck too while he was sleeping.
Yeah, weird. Like, he's very, very much attacked.
Grinding his teeth.
Yeah.
He freaked me out.
Any scary movie that has kids in it, it's always so much creepier. Because kids are always more susceptible to anything spiritual anyway, mm-hmm. in these movies. Mm-hmm. And they just say such creepy stuff throughout all of these movies. Samuel, completely involved in that too. He just said weird stuff the entire movie. I'm like, can someone get him to stop?
he's just creeping
me out. Yeah. And even when he was just screaming, I'm like, I don't like it.
No.
I didn't like it. The screaming, literally, I was like, I just can't cope. There's obviously something seriously wrong with this boy. We need to do something now. But I think the trauma behind it as well, the thought of, I can't even imagine how that would feel when you're kind of pregnant, you're ready to go and give birth and have your family, mm-hmm. and then to lose your partner halfway through that. Right. There's going to be a little bit of resentment towards that child.
Yeah, that's the strong theme of it. Yeah.
Because obviously it's like, well, if I hadn't have had you, and normally it's kind of the mother might be in that situation instead. So she might actually pass away, giving birth.
Yeah.
And then the dad's left alone. Mm-hmm. That's more the common theme, whereas obviously the dad's died driving her to the hospital. So I can't even imagine how the mum must feel in all of that.
Throughout the movie, it was very obvious until like toward the end of the movie that she didn't really want or know how to deal with Samuel at all. Yeah. And she like chose to just kind of keep a distance between the two of them. But yeah, I just, the whole time watching it, between their dynamic of just like him having just constant temper tantrums and screaming and just kicking things, and her just being like kind of choosing to ignore him, it was like so uncomfortable to watch.
That was the first time watching the film, it was kind of had that feeling of like, I didn't quite latch onto it. I kind of like felt for her in a sense, because it's like that would be so annoying. Just like shut up. I've got to deal with everything. I've got to cook, clean, go to work, take you to school, and all that kind of stuff. I'm doing this all by myself, and you can tell from her performance, like, it's so draining for her. Mm-hmm. You just see it in her eyes,
very defeated, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's just, and it was just like, oh, it's just horrible to go through that, and then you've got this entity that's kind of come a part of your life, and it's.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, can we talk about this for a second?
Yeah.
Like, because he seemed to have had some kind of, like, I felt like he was preparing for a monster that was not existing yet. Mm-hmm. And so, like, had he always, like, prior to the movie starting, because it seemed like he was, like, preparing for a monster, did he know that this monster was coming?
I just looked at it as he was knowing he could get attention from her. Because every routine, I mean, who knows, but every routine, it seemed like, they would check under the bed, they would check the armoire, and then he'd end up in her bed, and they would go to sleep in the same bed. And then the next day it was the same routine. So I took it as like his way of almost like manipulating the situation of knowing that he doesn't have to sleep by himself in his own room.
Yeah.
But he could have been very much kind of spiritual or something.
Yeah.
I thought it was weird that he knew in a lot of detail how his father died at 6 years old. I thought that was weird. That he was like, oh yeah, my dad died in a car accident on the way to the hospital, my mom was giving birth with me. I'm like, why does he know all these details? Like, it seemed like too much for a six-year-old to know.
Right. I don't think anybody should have told him that, but hey,
no. No, he kind of heavy.
I know you shouldn't, but you kind of should sugarcoat it a little bit, I would say. Probably say, I wouldn't even have said that it was on his birthday. I probably would have not told him that, just so that it wouldn't be so hard on him knowing it was his fault. Because having that at such a young age, he's going to cling to that and know his dad died on his birthday. He's like,
right, that's a burden for a kid to have. Yeah.
But her mother is like, kind of like, because of the fact she doesn't celebrate his birthday, Samuel's birthday, on that day, because like it's just a horrible reminder that my partner has died because of you, and it's just a horrible stigma that's kind of looming over her, and it's just, that's what it kind of plays out of throughout the film. It's kind of this dark entity of regret, and
but you could change the child's birthday by a day, and he wouldn't know any wiser. You know, he's 6 years old. If you tell him his birthday is on that day, he's not going to know. And then she could mourn the day before and get herself together. I know it's hard, obviously. Yeah. I'm saying it like I know how what she's going through.
Like, clearly, I don't. You're like, girl, get it together.
But I just think the little boy, for me, he's the scariest part. Actual Babadook himself, I don't know. I'm not too scared of the Babadook. It's more when the possession side comes to things. That's when that gets to me. And I really don't know if the boy knew about Babadook, like you're saying, beforehand or not. If was he actually already in his wardrobe?
I don't think, because he could have picked up the book as if like he just found it on the shelf and then they start reading it, and it's like, does the boy die?
Who put the book there, Paul? How did the book get there?
How did it get there?
So he must have come out of the wardrobe to put it there.
And then why were they targeted?
Yeah.
Wrong place, wrong time.
I mean, who knows? I mean, I don't know.
I'm wondering if
there are some holes that we would like to have answers. I agree, the Babadook himself, like when he would show up on screen, I didn't find him to be that scary of a creature, because we've watched a lot of movies where like the monster itself is so uncomfortable to look at. He was definitely not easy on the eyes. Like, you're like, I don't want to look at this thing at very long, but it wasn't like scary, it was just kind of uncomfortable.
Kind of like a shadow man.
But the things that were like happening, or the noises it would make, or like its voice, or like you were saying, the possession, like that stuff was creepy. Himself physically, not as much.
No, definitely not. But I don't know if you had read any like scary books when you were younger or anything, or anything that stuck out to you as like something that was really terrified you or anything like that. But there was a book I remember from school. I can't for life remember what it was called, or I tried to like do a Google search before, but it had very similar vibes of this like child who was like in a room, and this like shadowy thing like creeping across the room. You know, obviously the shadows do, the shadows cast across.
And Mum didn't read this to you, did she?
No, it was just something in the school library or something, but I can't remember what it was called.
Well,
but that's,
I feel like the librarian should be punished for giving children books like
this. Is this Zoom interview a way for us to help you walk through this?
Blink like, twice if you need help.
Yeah, we can do like a little mini therapy if you need. Neither of us are trained, but we are happy to talk through it with you.
That sounds scary. My mum's never read anything like that to me. I would probably, I don't know why they carry on with the book, to be fair. Like, literally, couple of pages, and she's like, oh, should we stop? And he's like, no, carry on. It's like, well, clearly we know where this is going to go. He's going to get frightened.
Of course.
So as a parent, wouldn't you just go, no,
close the book.
We're not reading it.
No. And then I'm getting rid of the book.
Then it comes back. But you know, whatever.
It wasn't going anywhere. But
doesn't you creep you out, the thought of it coming back? Like, she burns the book and tries to get rid of it.
I know.
And it still comes back. And it's like, is that real? I don't know. No. My brain goes quite vivid. So in my head, that could possibly happen.
And it was creepy that all the pages were like glued back together. She ripped up all those pages and threw it out. And then it came back to her doorstep, all put back together like nothing happened. And then more pages added to it. That was
As well.
Thank you.
Yeah. I knew that was going to come back. Oh, I knew as soon as she went out there and she threw it in the trash and she ripped out the page. That book was going to come back
for sure
somehow. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
mm-hmm. I
had a feeling, because when I first went through it, there was a bunch of blank pages at the end. So I had a feeling that the story was going to evolve and more pages would be added to it somehow. But for some reason, the like thought of somebody like tactfully putting all this stuff back together and like leaving it at your door is super creepy to me. I don't like it.
And it's like, who is it? Like, is this actually Babadook that's putting the book together, or has he got somebody else?
No, it's obviously like the film is making it seem that way. But I think it's really just a case of the fact that it's that, because she's so in so denial of, you know, like Sam and these stories that he keeps making up, and it's like getting rid of like no more talk of this Babadook character, throw it away, get rid of it, and we no more talk about it. But then it comes back because it's still this grievance that she's got in her head. The grief is the monster that's going on in her head. So it's this is like keeps preying on her mind. And so, right, it's coming back together in the piece. It's like you can't escape the past unless you face your fears type of thing.
So you're kind of saying to me it's her fault in a way.
Yeah, it's all in her. It's all in her head. Yeah. Really, that it's her.
It is for sure. Always the woman's fault. It's always the woman's fault.
She's so sleep deprived and everything like that, and it's just like everything's just waiting. She gets no support from her sister. She's very much like, oh, I've got my own like nice house and everything. You know, the fact that her walls, the walls are like white and everything like that, and her house, Amelia's house, is kind of like these blue gray tones and everything.
I hate the color of the house. It freaks me out.
It's dark and it's dreary and I don't like it either.
Mm-hmm. They've thought of it really cleverly, haven't they, to say like the people who've done the interior of the house, they've done it brilliant because it's like you've got your dark scary corners. Even the stairs, I don't know why they freaked me out with the archway going up,
and they were noisy too, like everything was creaky in that house, which made it worse.
Now I do have to say that in a lot of scary movies that the walls are like always dirty, like not necessarily the color, but they're just dirt,
like wallpapered usually,
and they're like kind of torn us up. This actually wasn't that bad, other than when the cockroaches started coming out of the wall. That was a little dirty to me, but I think it's just for the cockroaches. But I think the walls themselves, yes, they were like obviously a darker color, but they weren't dirty, which I was impressed, actually.
And they had all these intentional like lights off, or, like dim lights, flickering lights. Like, I don't like any of it.
No, it does have like a very storybook feel. I felt like to obviously, I guess that's what the theme they were going for, to match the fact that it's like a children's book that they're talking about, and for almost like Eastern European in a sense, like the way, you know, like the Grimm's fairy tale type of vibe, I think is dark, what they were kind of maybe going for.
Just don't like anything scary. I don't, and I kind of don't blame, I think the sister's a little bit horrible in this.
Yes.
Oh yeah. No, she is.
I kind of can relate a little bit, because like if that was me and I had that child and I had a child that had kind of got its shit together, I'd be like, can you not please mess my child up? Because I think that would highly level me to my anxiety, and my head would go like Amelia's on overdrive. So really you're saying to me, I'm open to Babadook coming into my head, aren't you, when you said that?
Oh shoot.
Maybe, I don't know.
That it did scare me, because I'm thinking, I actually, by the end of this film, the thought of something coming into my house that I don't have the power to do anything about, and I actually did have a nightmare of Babadook being on the top on my ceiling, you know, while I was asleep.
Oh my god.
Okay.
See, I don't have that issue. I can like, I disconnect, and I've said this before, but I can watch something scary and I can immediately go to sleep, or I can go outside for a walk in the middle of the night.
Well,
like, I'm not
Dateline before you go to bed.
Oh, I watch Dateline every night. Yeah. So yeah, I just, when I watch scary movies, I just don't think about it as soon as I'm done with it. And it doesn't resonate with me. Like there's a couple things that we have watched that it's kind of
like stuck with you a little bit,
like Hereditary. Yeah. And I know that one really messed with you, but there were some things that I don't do gore and things like that. Paranormal stuff, not so bad. Mm-hmm. This wasn't bad to me. This was, now I'm sorry that you had like nightmares and stuff about it.
Paul knows anything like ghost, paranormal, anything like that, it's like my level of scariness just goes higher. Anything that comes after me and I can see it physically and I know it's a human, I'm fine. But I think I was thinking I heard a noise upstairs. I'm like, what's upstairs? I got myself to that level of anxiousness. But I do have a bit of gripe with the fact of when there was the knocking of the wardrobes. I'm curious, I would not do this, and I'm interested to see what any other woman would do. You've got your son with you. You can hear the knocking of the wardrobe. You hide underneath the covers. I would not do that, because I'd want to see what were coming at me.
I'd be checking it.
Yeah. Because I would think, and this could just be her trauma too, but because you would think as a mother, your first instinct would be to protect the kid that's laying right next to you.
Right.
Like your son that's asleep. But her first instinct was like, nope, this isn't happening. Pure denial. Hide under my blankets.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, now everybody's vulnerable, instead of just facing it and trying to figure out how to get you and your son out of that situation. Yeah.
And there was a lot of noises too. It's not even just on the wardrobe. I mean, it was like out in the hall.
Yeah.
And I'm don't cover yourself up. Go check it out. You've got to like protect your house.
But that's how she deals with everything. everything. Like, it's a perfect example of like how she's dealt with her life the last 6 years with her husband dying. It's like pure denial, hiding.
Yeah.
It'll just go away. I'll just deal with it later.
Yeah.
And actually her son is a stronger character because he actually really wants to protect his mother.
That's why he's got all the contraptions and everything. Yeah.
And he really doesn't want anything to happen to her. And for a 6-year-old to be so protective over its mum is an amazing thing to have, really. But I think he's a bit scarred because obviously when you're 6 years old, your father wouldn't normally have passed away.
No.
Just from like an accident.
That's it, right.
Yeah, and she probably hasn't been in the right state of mind since it happened. So he probably does automatically want to protect her because she's just not in that mental state of, you know,
being the adult in the room.
Correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's got a lot of baggage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And it's just kind of like sad to see that the fact that he loves his mom so much, you know, like a child does, and but she doesn't really love him back because, and that's kind of a sad situation for him as well, because he really feels for him. Like he's just wanting to just, you know, like, you know, that relationship where it's just not there at the beginning anyway.
No, it's not. No. And I think he actually, in the end, the way that it kind of goes towards it, I'm more root for Sam, and I'm surprised because initially I'm thinking this child is so annoying.
It's, oh my gosh. Right. Do something. Lock him up. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, I just felt like he needed, it was like a cry for help, basically, when he was screaming every single time. And I'm like, this kid is like needs some serious help. But yeah, at the end, like he was very
setting up booby traps and everything. Yeah.
Protecting his mom. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He like knew too much. He knew too much.
And it really bothered me during the movie with how he's making all of these weapons. And I'm like, why is this 6-year-old allowed to near these tools that he can make these contraptions to hurt anything? And anytime he would like bring him to school and he got in trouble for it. And I'm like, okay, so we're not going to keep him out of the basement where he can make weapons still. No, just keep letting him go down there, I guess.
Yeah, just leave that key hung. Yeah. And just let him take it off.
Yeah, let him wear that weird slingshot backpack. Don't do anything about it. Like, it drove me crazy the whole movie. I'm like, he's creating weapons and you're just like, whatever. He's 6. Like, no, that's not normal.
I love how as well she takes him out of school. So it's like, instead of the school kind of saying, I'm sorry, we can't kind of have your child any longer in our school, she's saying there's something wrong with him and you meant to be helping him. And it's like, well, wait a minute. You haven't been doing anything about that until it got to this point. And it's like, so really, you're not helping your son at all. Mm-hmm. I think she just wants him to be normal.
She says that. Why can't you just be normal? Like,
And just be naturally that way. Yeah. Yes.
No, well, what is normal? Mm-hmm. Everybody has their own normal. It's
yes.
True.
The glass in the food, that was the bit where I actually didn't know if the boy did that or not.
I know. I was there too. I'm like, oh, did he do it? Because he was mad at her at that time. So I'm like, yeah, could he have done that? And he's like, no, the Babadook did it. I'm like, did he do it?
I don't know.
But it was also weird for me that the mom just, I mean, okay, what parent is gonna like drink any of their weird milk looking soup and have like glass chunks in it? And your kid, only person in your house is like, I didn't do it. And it's like, she just pretended it didn't happen and was like, oh, go watch a DVD while I make something else for dinner. And I'm like, that's not the right response at all. Because even if you don't believe in the Babadook, it would have had to have been your son that did it if it wasn't a haunting in your house.
Which is a real problem.
Right. But your response is like, oh, I'll make something else for you to try to hurt me with. Like, I didn't understand it.
No, I'd have thought if that was me, it'd be like, okay, if that's the way you're going to treat our food, you're not having any now. Go to your room
100%.
And go to bed. And then you can wake up hungry in the morning. If you decide to put glass in my food again, you're just not going to eat. I mean, like,
exactly. She's like, nope, I'll make something else. I'm like, lady.
I don't know if I would live in the house with him.
It'd be hard.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what I would do in that situation. I don't know.
It's a hard one. I feel like I'd be letting you deal with him because I would just flip my lid.
Okay.
I feel like you're going to be the kind of parent anyways. I'll be the fun one, but then I think
Paul's the bad cop, you're the good cop. That's what it is, right? You guys have that dynamic already.
I feel like it would be, you'd kind of tell them off and they would listen.
Yeah.
Whereas they'd laugh at me if I told them off. They'd be like, hey, really, mummy, you're yelling at me?
The obviously the thing with the magic as well, obviously that's kind of like his escapism, isn't it, really, with the doing the magic tricks and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's almost like he's kind of like, I want to like make everything all right, like magic everything away and everything's going to be okay, mum. type of thing. That's what kind of maybe is what I was going for, but it's
it ended up being creepy. He ended up doing magic.
Yeah. Creepy kid doing magic in the basement.
I thought that too. Like, I love how your brain went to, oh, everything's going to be okay. And I'm thinking, what kind of sick, sinister thing is this child going to magic out now? And
like summoning something.
Yeah. Or like the fact that, you know, when he does like kind of the coins and stuff like that, it's like, oh, well, what kind of thing is it going to be? Instead of like, is it going to be like a spider? I don't know.
Oh, right. You're making it, instead of like innocent stuff, you think it's going to be more twisted.
Yeah. I feel like that's the way that his kind of storyline is going initially.
I can see.
Well, it's hard to not think that way, because if he was the quote unquote normal kid and he's doing magic, like, we would have never thought anything weird of it. We're like, cool, he's into magic, he's got a hobby, cool, good for him. But the fact that of his character, like throughout the entire movie, well, toward the end, he was this, like, we didn't know what he was up to. Yeah. So the fact that he's doing magic just makes us think more suspicious of what he could possibly be trying to hide, because I'm like, what's going to happen when he throws these like firecrackers? Like, what's going to happen? I don't know. It just, it added more of an element of discomfort, not knowing where he was going next.
When he threw that firecracker at her feet when they were out on the driveway, I would have snatched that kid up.
Yeah, No.
She's like, where'd you get that? Oh, I bought on the internet. Okay, no more internet. I'm like, what? No more internet? That's not a thing.
No, it's not. Because I didn't see him once on the internet or any kind of like.
She would have to buy it for him on the internet.
Right. Mm.
That is so true.
Yeah.
And how did he get them anyways? Because it's like, well, unless she's got access, is it like one of those things where you're on like a tablet or something nowadays and you've got your mom's bank details in it or something?
Right. It's already saved on it or something. She would have had to have bought it for him. It was 2014. She bought it for him.
Oh, yeah, she did.
Oh, yeah, she
absolutely.
And then also when they were coming back, was that the same time that those cockroaches were on her in the car? Was that the same time?
I think, one of the instances, yeah, because it was kind of like another meltdown. And, like,
the bugs were on her.
Oh no! I think that was when the Babadook was behind her. I think that was another scene.
Another driving scene.
It was towards the end.
Oh, when she saw it in the rearview mirror.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I didn't like it. But just, I always have this like fear that, especially since we live in Florida, because there's all types of bugs down here. But I always have this fear that I'm going to be like in my car and there's going to be like a spider on my dashboard or something, and it just, the thought of it freaks me out. So the fact that she was driving and there's like a dozen cockroaches on her lap while she's driving, my nightmare. No, no way. Not okay. And then she sees this weird like thing that's haunting her in the rearview mirror. No, none of it was okay.
Well, she did freak out and she did crash. So
yeah, it was definitely the rational thing to do instead of just stopping the car. Don't put your foot on the brake at all.
No,
just keep driving.
Swerving.
But I think what as well freaked me out was it was daytime when this was happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not safe anytime then.
That's what I was mean. Yeah. By that.
So that really, because I was just getting used to the beats of, oh, okay, it goes dark, the Babadook kind is coming out a little bit. Mm-hmm. Nighttime, we're safe. And then it was like, okay, no, we're not. No place is safe now in this movie. And my anxiety levels go up when I'm watching a scary movie. I'm normally okay. I feel like halfway, like an hour through. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, okay, half an hour, that's when kind of the nitty-gritty is gonna
come. Happens.
So I'll be sitting fine, and then I kind of do check the clock and think, oh, how long have we been watching this for? when's the ending? And when do I need to be scared?
And I talk myself through it, because I'll be like an hour in and I'll be like, oh, there's only 30 minutes. Okay, I've already done an hour. You can do 30 more minutes. It's fine. You've already done the majority of it.
Yeah, but the hard stuff is usually at the end of the movie.
I know, but then it always moves faster. Oh, so the last 30 minutes always feels like it goes a little bit quicker than the first hour does, because things are happening. So I'm like,
Oh my God.
It's a whole mental game. You don't get it.
I don't get it, because I'm just like, oh, okay, there's a Babadook in my backseat. It's fine.
I feel like you're trying to make me sound like the crazy one, but you're making me sound like the normal one and you sound like the crazy one.
Why am I the crazy one?
Because you're making it seem like you have no feelings.
Sometimes.
You're like, my house is haunted? Whatever. I'll go to bed.
Definitely go to a haunted house and stay.
I'm uninterested.
We're going to go one time. I'm going to take her.
No, if we go to the one, then you and Paul can go. And so
yes,
have some wine or something.
That sounds amazing.
Perfect.
That's cool. You guys can tell us about it and we'll just hang out in a safe place that's not haunted.
Yeah.
During the day.
Of course, during the day.
Don't like it when it gets dark.
What are we, monsters? No way.
We're so alike. It's amazing how this kind of has worked. You're right, Paul. You've got kind of the two different sides of horror. I don't know how you watch horror all the time. I don't know how you do it. It's commendable.
I love crime shows, scary movies. Yeah, I think maybe I am crazy.
I think you are.
Very brave. I can only hang on for like a month and then I'm counting down to Christmas and it's like, right, it's my turn now to kind of lay on the films.
That's a good dynamic.
There you go.
Can we go towards the ending yet?
Yeah.
Can we?
Look at her, she's like, I want to go to the
ending. We go to the ending. So, right, where do I... Now, I have different ways of the way I thought this movie was going to end. So the way it did end, I was quite surprised, actually.
Me too. Yeah. I did not expect the Babadook to become a house pet. And I don't know
what
why
was
that's
that?
What's happening.
What? Are we just going to keep the Babadook, the invisible Babadook, in...
The basement? Like, why? Okay, one, why is it even there? Like, why did it retreat to the basement? Like, did it always live in the basement? And then it just came out and attacked? Like, did it always live there? And then, like, why is it now still in the basement and they're okay with it being there? Because they added a crack ton of locks to that door. Like, before she went down there to feed it all the earthworms, which was also weird, which we'll definitely circle back to. But they showed the door and there were locks, like, all across the top and part on the side. Like, okay, we'll live in the same house as it, but we'll just add a crap ton of locks to the door?
I don't...
I think... I think that's just kind of like, right, I've kind of, like, accepted the past. Let's just hide, but let's keep it down there in the basement out of the way. And then, because you said, like, we'll deal with it when you're older type of thing. It's kind of like, we'll have this talk about what happened to your dad. Because obviously he kind of appeared
to her. All his stuff was down there too.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of like that. So keeping him alive, you know, like how people do when like honoring people's memories. So it's kind of like feeding him, the ghost dad or whatever you want to classify as the Babadook. Incarnated, basically.
So is that what you're thinking it is?
Yeah.
So you think Babadook is his dad?
In a way, yeah.
So did he?
Okay.
Oh no. Did his? So do you think that his dad, like had some kind of intuition of some sort, and he was always like a bad entity?
I'm almost wondering off of what Paul's saying, because I think that's really interesting. I'm almost wondering if a different family lived in that house, whatever baggage or trauma they have, the Babadook would maybe take form of that then.
Yeah.
Because for them, their trauma is the fact that she lost her husband.
Okay.
So when she keeps seeing her husband right before the Babadook shows up, like for them, that's the past they're trying to get rid of. So maybe if it was a different family with something else, maybe the Babadook would have taken
potentially,
that
form or
something.
Yeah.
Maybe.
That's an interesting... Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, I try and always try to do a spin on things rather than just seeing it as it is kind of thing. Like it's just a monster, but I think there's a bit more to. I think that's what the director's probably going for, really, kind of like going a bit deeper
into
the grief.
I like it too.
That's really
interesting. So really,
did you write this movie?
You're thinking that the Babadook will cling on to anything that's like kind of negative or bad.
Like a bad energy. Yeah. Mm.
And that kind of is obviously the father passing away.
Yeah, that's why it's kind of like she sees him later on, and then it's like, oh, like bring me the boy or whatever he says, kind of like something like Insidious or something.
So I have a question then: why do they keep him? Does she then think that's her husband downstairs that she's feeding them earthworms to?
I guess so. Maybe I don't know. There must be a reason other than the fact that it's just kind of just like just keeping his memory alive, but it's we'll
she
address that at a later date.
Help.
Yeah, she does.
And I think
definitely.
The weird part too was the fact that like the whole feeding it earthworms is very strange. So I don't know what that's about or how they figured out it with like a bowl of earthworms.
Yeah.
So all of that's weird. But then she puts the bowl down and we don't see it, which is always the creepy part of it because we don't see it most of the time. And it goes and like lunges at her and she has to like talk it down like it's an angry dog, you know. She's like, it's okay, no it's fine, and then it just retreats and takes the worms with it. And I didn't fully love that idea that it was gonna charge at her, but then she can just be like calm and be like, no, it's cool, and it'll be like, yeah, I'll go eat my worms.
It's like it's like they ran out of a storyline and they're just like, let's just put a bowl of worms in here. We got some in the backyard.
I didn't love the fact that it like could have attacked her, but didn't, because I was still thinking that the movie wasn't over yet. Like when they were okay and she didn't hurt Sam, only when she hurt the dog, I did not like it. I didn't watch it.
I agree.
I plugged my ears. I want nothing to do with it. But I knew when she was reading the book and saw like the next couple chapters of it, I knew that the dog was going to go. Like I knew, because I knew she wasn't going to necessarily, well, I felt like she probably wasn't going to kill her son, but I was like, well, the dog's probably the next target then. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking once they kind of got out of the basement, they were all bloody and it was fine. I was like, I think she's still going to hurt him. Like I was not convinced the movie was over. And then when it was, and they were like having this picnic in the garden and the social workers were there and she went into the basement, I was like, is something still going to happen? Like, I still wasn't trusting that it was over, but then it was, and I don't know.
I have a question. So let's, theoretically speaking, let's just say that they're going to move. Is this something that you have to disclose when you are settled?
That your basement's haunted?
Maybe, that there is a demonic entity in your basement? Is that?
I mean, I think morally you should, but you probably don't legally have to.
They're probably going to question all the locks around the door.
Yeah.
They're going to be like, what's...
And if you remove it, there's all those holes there. You're like, what happened to your door?
I feel like, well, it depends on how savvy she is. Like, for example, I would never buy that house. Even if it was a really good value, I would not buy it. However, if there's certain people that like that, that they maybe would, you know, she could haven't put the price and say, I've got a demon or something or in my basement. And I think some people would pay for that.
Just to say their house is haunted or it has something weird. Not me. No,
that's a good, that's, I like that. Cause I probably would be interested.
Look at you. You spun it on a good selling
a positive.
No, it's a good selling angle.
I like that.
So you could up your price, you know, anyone would want it. But I actually thought Sam might die in this. I did actually think the mum would get possessed. And the book would follow how it said.
Yeah, so I thought so too.
Yeah. So the dog gets strangled, which is absolutely horrific. And you know me, I actually prefer to see humans die than actual animals.
Absolutely.
100%. Yeah, in these films, that the animals
don't want anybody to die, but if I'm watching a scary movie, yeah, animals going, not okay with ever.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I just feel like it's not fair on an animal as much as a human. Mm-hmm. I know that sounds daft because like, an animal, it's like they're more innocent.
Well, they didn't do anything. They're
innocent. Not, yeah, they're not involved in all this weird demonic crap happening in this house. Yeah.
Yeah. So obviously she was obsessed. Oh, obsessed. No, she wasn't possessed at that moment. But I loved Sam in the end. It reminded me of Home Alone a little bit with his little booby traps that he was doing.
With the tripwire and everything. Montage. Yes.
Yeah.
And it actually made me laugh at this point because I didn't think that this is where the film was going. So it really surprised me. And I was like, okay, go, Sam. You've been this pain in the ass child for God knows how long. Yeah. And now.
Smart kid too now.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely loved that ending, but I'm the same. I did not think. When they were sat outside and she, it kind of went like this.
Almost silence. Yeah.
And I was like, oh, is that going to end that way then? And that's it. Or is it, then they sat outside and it's his birthday. And I'm like, I was really shocked that it ended on a happy-ish note for a scary-ish movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it kind of like almost ended too soon, like abruptly. And I'm like, I kept feeling like it was going to happen. Else. I'm waiting. And then the credits come up and I was like, did I miss something?
No, you didn't.
It just ended.
It just ended.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Not that I want anybody else to die, but I thought like it would be like wrapped up in a nicer little bow. Maybe. I don't know.
Well, I think they thought that they did that.
Or maybe they did it on purpose and they were like messing with us.
Is there a second one?
No.
Do we know?
But I did know, but I looked on IMDb because I look at like some fun facts and stuff for like our show. And it said on there that Jennifer Kent, who like wrote and directed it, which one, good for her, girl power, good for her.
That's right.
two, she said that she's has all the rights to the movie and she's not doing a sequel and she won't let anybody do a sequel.
Interesting.
So I guess it like, but I can see like the way that movie is, there's really no place else to take it unless it's like a different family.
Somebody else moved in.
But then it's like, it's just the same things happening to them just with seeing different things. So it's not really like, going to be a different story, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe there's more pages that are going to be added.
I don't know.
I mean, she could do it if she wanted to.
Yeah.
But she did actually, this is like a first feature film, but she did actually do a short film. I don't know if you know this from the IMDb thing, that it was a 2005 short film called Monster. And it's basically like an abridged version of what this film is. So it's obviously concepts from that short film that she made. And then obviously expanding that into a full length film, so which I kind of watched, and it was And it was quite, yeah, it was quite interesting. There are very a lot of similarities. There wasn't a book involved, but there was like a monster in a closet type of thing. But it was very only like 10 minutes long, but it was kind of like had similar themes in it, but it was all like black and white, like the films that she was watching on the TV, which yeah. were kind of like that.
Oh yes, it was
German
right.
expressionism type thing. I don't know
why she was watching any of that on the TV. I would never watch any of that.
No, yeah. It was all creepy and weird. I want nothing to do with
it. I just think that maybe it's because she had not slept. Like, I feel like it was days that she didn't sleep.
Yeah. yeah.
So maybe she was just, it was delirious. Late. Yeah, well, yeah, it was late at night. And then all of this stuff just started, you know.
Weird late night TV.
Right. I mean, I don't know what they kind of TV they have over in Australia, but I don't have anything like that here.
I don't know. I'm not watching it.
No. I don't know if why?
I don't know.
I could watch like a crime show. I'm okay with that.
But like, I could see if it was like the old timey, like Dracula or Frankenstein, something like that, if it was like on TV, but it was like, this stuff was just like weird.
Unless it was in her mind.
Things, maybe.
Ooh,
because
I
she
like
was
that.
Watching at one point after she kind of got possessed and she was seeing the Babadook on like random shows that she was watching.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He showed up.
So maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
Who knows? Yes,
that's right.
We'll that might never be know. Thing. Maybe.
I think if I was that sleep deprived, I wouldn't be a nice person. I know that. I'm one of those, you need to fuel me food and then I need my yeah. sleep. I get hangry or cranky.
Yeah, I
we might be the same person.
Whereas you can last on quite little sleep and you are still, well.
I'm more of a night owl anyway.
Yeah, you are.
And I don't like waking up in the morning. So like, oh, yeah, it's never enough sleep. No matter what time I go out of bed, it's never enough sleep.
And I'm the early bird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm fine with being getting up early. I can do that. And you're like just laying there like a sloth.
She's not judging you at all. Like, not at all. Yeah. Not at all.
That's so funny.
Do you have any other lovely things that you've been researching that you want to tell us before we go to scoring? Because mm-hmm. he does loads of research and I just come up and tell everybody what I've just watched. And
there's
say what
no
I
judgment
think.
To that at
yeah,
all.
Both are valuable. No.
Okay. I just feel so bad because he does all the hard work and then I just go, oh, well, I think this and I think this. And then you come out with a really good showstopper, didn't you? Yeah.
I try. But, I think it's kind of just kind of going through other bits. The only thing that was kind of me personally found interesting was there was a couple of things more towards the back end. I think when she was chasing Sam around the house upstairs and everything, it kind of reminded me of The Shining a little bit.
Ooh.
Almost like the knocking the door and she kind of says like little pig, or you know, when he goes little yeah. pigs, let me in type
yeah.
thing. And
goodness, that you love The Shining, don't you?
That is like my favorite horror film and currently my favorite film of all time at the back.
Wow.
Present,
so. What? That's a bold statement. Uh-huh. Okay.
It's a good movie for sure.
Yeah. No, it's good. Mm-hmm. The actors are good too. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It didn't scare me as much. It was more like a mental trick in game. So I was okay with that. Mm-hmm. And I guess it's kind of similar with Babadook a little bit because it is all in your head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I understand that now. Thank you, Paul.
Yeah. So I did really enjoy this one. But I think we'll go to scorings now, unless you guys got anything else to add in.
No, I know. We're good to score. Yeah.
Yeah. So
can't wait to score. This is so exciting.
So we'll let you go first with your scoring. So either Stephanie or Courtney, go first.
You had a score ready.
I did. I'm going to give it a strong 5. I know.
What?
I know. Here's my reason.
I thought you were going to go much higher than that.
No, I didn't enjoy it at all. But I didn't want to come out of the gate saying that.
I wish you would have. I am blindsided.
Sorry, I didn't mean to blindside you. It was a strong 5.
That's not strong at all.
Well,
that's mediocre.
Well, I said strong.
Okay, what's your reason? I'm ready.
Okay. Well, you and I have had conversations before. I don't do paranormal. It doesn't do anything for me. Mm-hmm. There was one paranormal movie that I did like. I can't remember what it was.
Maybe The Conjuring.
Oh, I think it was The Conjuring. I'm okay with that. I just did not find that this movie, it was very predictable for me. And I felt like I knew what was going to happen. Now, there were a couple instances where I didn't know and I was kind of not shocked, but mm-hmm. I was just like, oh, okay. But it was just kind of like a regular Tuesday night movie. I don't know. It wasn't earth shattering for me. The Babadook was not scary at all. He just had long, creepy fingers.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was a 5. I'm giving it a 5 and I'm sticking to it.
Okay.
Wow.
Take that.
I'm going more with a solid 8.
Oh, you liked it.
I did. I actually did like it, even though I thought it was creepy because the voices that they had for the Babadook when he would like call them or just like the whispering, like I don't like any of that crap, but I thought the movie was super creative. I thought the way it was filmed was really cool. I thought the characters themselves were cool. The Babadook, yes, him himself wasn't scary,
right?
But everything that he was doing to them was super creepy. And I just liked the movie. I thought it was super creative. So I'm giving it an 8.
Good for you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised. I'm not going to lie with the scoring, but everyone has their own opinion. So I'm quite surprised at how highly certain scores are, and shocked at a 5. I'm not going to lie. But I love it. But I'm guessing for you, it's not that scary. So it's like, it didn't do anything for me.
I don't know. And you said it was creative. And I
did think it was creative.
I did. I wasn't, I don't know. There was just something. Enough about me. Go ahead. You tell.
Do so, I go first?
Yeah, you go first.
Okay.
Always.
So for me, I don't like scary films. However, I like a happy ending. And it did give me that.
Okay.
So my brain went really sinister. I was like, I did think it was going to follow suit with the book. The dog was going to go with the boy, and then she was going to kill herself. Mm-hmm. The end. So I'm pretty much, oh, that's what the book says. That's what they're going to do. So credit to the film for not doing that, sure, and making it a little bit more creative. It was not the way that I thought it was going to end. Mm-hmm. I really valued Sam becoming not a pain in the bottom. And doing the whole kind of Home Alone scene of, oh, I'll make my mum fall down the steps. Yep. I'm going to whack her with a cricket ball in the head. And then tie her up in the basement. Like,
yeah.
What 6-year-old does that?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So it did have fun elements, which I didn't think I would laugh.
Yeah.
So I can't really complain there. I think for a scary movie, it did cling with me. And I think, to be fair, we did do 2 in one seating, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
But this one was the most frightening. But that's what I guess you want from a scary movie. You do want to be frightened. So my score, I would say it's going to be a 7. So it's in the middle. And I'm quite being generous here. So the last time we watched Blair Witch, didn't we? On our previous episode. Oh. Mm-hmm. And I was anxious all the way through that film.
Mm-hmm. That would be freaked me out.
Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. So I think this one, just for the ending alone, that's why it's scored higher for me.
Okay.
You're happy with that score? Because I know you were really upset last week.
Yeah, I was kind of stuff like, oh.
Because you really like the Blair Witch Project.
Yeah, dude. I genuinely think that's a really scary film.
Mm-hmm. It is. That's why I didn't like it.
Right. So for my score, I'm going to put it at an 8 also. Mainly because I think it's not inherently scary as especially as the amount of times I've seen it now. It's kind of like, I wasn't really terrified when I first saw the Babadook anyway. As a presence, he's not like, it's creepy, but not like, oh my god, I can't sleep at night type of thing. That didn't come across to me. But as I've kind of like rewatched and researched and got into more about the drama that's involved in the reasoning why the characters are how they are and what things represent, it kind of makes a lot more sense in a, like a more of a mental capacity rather than just a supernatural presence that the character of the Babadook has. I think it really plays to its strengths, really. So it's really, I feel like you get more out of it than just your general horror film, really. Mm-hmm. So and there's creepy elements, and you feel for the mother all the way through, even though she's, you don't always agree with her at times. But you also don't agree with how Sam is acting out anyway, but that's, you're kind of playing off each other like, well, if you behaved and spent more time with him type of thing, then this probably wouldn't have happened kind of thing. But obviously that's not how, you wouldn't have a story otherwise, would you say?
Right.
Yeah. So I think, I think I'm putting it an 8.
Is it a high 8?
Yeah, high 8.
High 8.
High 8.
What would make it a 9?
I'm guessing if the Babadook was more scary, and actually had more like an impact, because you feel like you could take him out essentially, and it could you know, peel it back a bit, and therefore there wouldn't be, it'd be more of like a, actually like more of a drama, wouldn't it? More like a thriller drama in a sense, without the Babadook. Or it's not really a horror in this, in,
because the visual of the Babadook doesn't even need to necessarily be in the movie.
Yeah, that's like, what I was about to say.
Like the book itself, like him being in the book is fine, because then it kind of like plays with our mind a little bit as weird stuff is happening in the house. Mm-hmm. But they didn't really need to like see anything for it to be just as creepy. You know, we don't need to see something in her kitchen or at the neighbor's house or anything like that. You know, it just, it could have held on its own without seeing anything.
I agree.
Yeah, and that's linking literally with the Blair Witch Project, because I was like shocked and dumbfounded that nothing jumped out to scare me. And I was like, literally, I've wasted all this energy thinking I was going to be frightened. And I could see things in the trees. I really, my imagination was really going.
Yep.
And there was nothing. And it's like, and I even said to you, well, what does it look like?
You don't know.
What is it?
But that's what makes it creepier, because that's when we watched the Blair Witch 2. Yeah. That's exactly what I said, was that the fact that you don't see anything, it just lets your mind kind of get the best of you, because you're just putting it together in your head as almost to what to you is creepy, or what to me is creepy. And that's what's causing all that psychological stuff while watching the movie, is we don't see anything. And it's creepy. It's so creepy.
It really is. And I think it's the anticipation of waiting and thinking you're going to see something and then you don't. I was a little bit let down at that though, but then you said it would spoil the film, didn't you?
Yeah, I think it would, really.
I think it would have too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just better that you don't see what this creepy character is and just keep your mind, let your mind do the creepy.
The thinking, yeah.
That's the worst thing.
The way the Blair Witch ended, that stuck with me. Just like the way that film ended in itself, oh, that freaked me out so much. For a couple of days, I was like, it haunted me for a little bit.
Yeah. Well, my thing was, we kind of did the Blair Witch and then we did Babadook, and it was like Friday night and then Saturday night. And then like Sunday night, well, the nightmares just kicked in.
You didn't stand a chance of having normal dreams at
I think that's brilliant scores, actually. Not too bad. I think that kind of, it went up and up.
Yeah. I wasn't expecting a 5, so I'm not going to lie, but.
Oh, wow. Surprised you guys.
It sounds like you disappointed everybody.
I did disappoint everybody. It's fine.
But it's fine. The first or the last. Final opinions and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know it's obviously for a scary point. It's probably not that scary, but I think more of in a drama, a sense that it's very strong.
Yeah, and I think for me too, because we've watched a bunch of scary movies now, and there are some that we've watched that, even though I genuinely hate being scared and watching the movie, I am so uncomfortable watching it. But when it's over, I can appreciate that it was a really well done movie.
Yeah.
No matter how bad it made me feel watching it, so. Because we've watched, even when we talked about Hereditary before, or the Blair Witch, even this movie, like, even this movie I didn't find to be as scary as the ones that we've watched before, I did appreciate the creativity of it. So I think for me, that's why it scored a little bit high. And other movies that we've watched,
I just didn't find the creativity
too.
Either.
Yeah.
Like,
I thought it had cool transitions and scenes, and I don't know, I liked it.
I don't know. I think I'm being very hard on this movie, I agree. But I expected more from it. And maybe that's where it came from, because everybody loves this movie so much. And then I was expecting to be blown away. And that's probably where my low score is coming from, just because I felt like it didn't live up
to what the hype was.
Yeah. Okay. It didn't.
I can see that.
So, I understand that completely. There's so many films that everyone says amazing, and then you're watching it like, really?
You're like, what? Seriously?
Yeah. Yeah. Disappointed then, Because the bar set so high for us. I can see that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I appreciate where you're coming from on that one. And especially since you watch so many scary films. Like, this might be like, this is nothing on me.
It's just a regular night.
Yeah. Oh, thank you very much, guys, for joining us on this episode.
Sure. Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Where can everybody find you?
So we're on anywhere you listen to podcasts. You can find us there. The best place to find us is our website. It's tipsypod.com. It has all of our social media on there and ways you can find our show everywhere else.
And on Twitter and Instagram, I presume you've got the handles for those?
Yes. It's all on our website, but we have a Facebook, an Instagram, a Twitter, a TikTok, and a YouTube.
Cool.
So they can find you everywhere.
Everywhere. And our YouTube is fun because we do these mini scary movie watch-alongs that we watch on YouTube. They're like 10 to 15 minute mini horror movies, and we do like live, well, we record ourselves like watching for the first time. So Those are kind of my favorite. I think they're really fun.
It's kind of a train wreck.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, it's very,
just our right then and there reaction to the movies.
Yep.
She which usually, of course are different.
She, well, I'm just, yeah, I'm floored by usually what's going on in the movies. And then she usually scares the crap out of me by her scared reactions. Yeah. And it's just.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
So that's on our YouTube channel. I think those are like one of my favorite things that we do. I just think they're just goofy and entertaining.
They are.
They're authentically us.
Cool. Yeah, I'll definitely be checking out some of those.
Yeah.
And any of our listeners, definitely go and check them out. They're amazing. Especially if you like horror films. And thank you so much for being part of this episode. I've actually enjoyed Babadook. I don't know if you brought it out of me a little bit. And hopefully I can get to a point of where scary films do not faze me.
I'll whittle it down.
Yeah.
Gotta start off little.
Yeah, one scary movie at a time.
Baby steps.
Exactly right. Mm-hmm.
So as always, be sure to check out all our other episodes over on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, and wherever else you might get your podcasts from. And of course, you can find us over on social media, on Instagram and Twitter under the handle SP_filmviewers. And also, if you would be so kind as to leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Podchaser or wherever else they do the podcast reviews, that really helps the algorithm and, you know, gets us seen out there by more people and everything, more listenership.
Exactly that. And thank you so much. We did actually have some lovely reviews this week and they meant the world to us. So it shows that people are listening, they're enjoying this content. Gives you a little bit of a boost, doesn't it? To think, oh, yeah, actually, what we are doing, we're not just in a void somewhere where people are not listening. So,
the sea of podcasts, yeah.
Yeah, exactly that. So thank you so much for all your lovely comments. They never get unread. They always mean the world to us.
Definitely do.
So I hope you really enjoyed the episode of Babadook. I know I really did, and I'm pretty sure there's a few laughs in there. Also, we had amazing guests, so go check them out. And especially if you love horror films, because that is what they cover. And there's so many horror films out there that Sophie doesn't even know exist.
Yeah.
Which is maybe good.
I don't know if we'll go through them all at some point, but there's certain ones I think you'd probably be like, I'm not even going to attempt to show you there.
I'm just going to go to Terrified and Tipsy now and look at what they say and then be like, well, actually, no, we're not watching that.
All right. So thank you very much, guys, for listening. And we will speak to you next time.
We'll speak to you next time.
Bye.
Bye.